In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri, St. Ignatius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, good evening. So the catechesis on prayer will be a little bit different this evening, but hopefully efficacious, is recently, within the past couple years, a very, very good book has come out, especially for priests, for the priesthood, and a lot of lay people are falling in love with this book, and it's title is In Sino Gesù. Okay, In Sino Gesù, When Heart Speaks to Heart, The Journal of a Priest at Prayer, a Benedictine Monk. So, this is part of our prayer catechesis because it's really very much related to prayer. And it sets the tone for our meditation tonight as well as into tomorrow. Okay, how can I explain this book? Saint Catherine of Siena is a woman doctor of the church, and her literary masterpiece is called The Dialogues, in which God the Father spoke to Catherine of Siena. So this is probably the greatest literary masterpiece in the world if we really want to get to know God the Father speaking to us, because Catherine of Siena, she's a doctor of the church. Therefore, her writings are authoritative. Okay, let's follow. Follow up. From 1905 to 1938, there was a Polish nun, her name was Faustina Kowalska, who about the last 10 years of her life, she was in a convent, or convents, she moved around, and Jesus started to speak to her. And Jesus said, all your free time, I want you to go into your room, close the door, and I will speak to you, and you're going to write down what I want you to say. I want you to write down what I tell you. From that we have the Diary of St. Faustina. So in the Dialogues is God the Father speaking. In the Diary of St. Faustina, Jesus speaking. In this, it's Jesus and Mary speaking to a priest. So, very different in that sense. So you might even say that this would be like the secretary of Jesus to the priest in the modern world. And I haven't read all of it, but I've read some pages, and it's captivating me more and more.
What's the name?
In Sino Jesu, it's Latin. When heart speaks to heart, the journal of a priest at prayer, a Benedictine monk. And I'll just give you Angelico Press. I'll just give you probably about a year ago, my mother spoke about this, and she's always way ahead of the game in theological happenings. She's always avant-garde, as they say. She said, son, this is the problem within the church, this book. And I think she was able to send to all the priests there in West Palm Beach. She's in Vero Beach, sending it to them, because that's where she has one home there. She has another home in New Hampshire, no? And she's very, very assertive in trying to get priests to get involved in many activities. She's been the head of the Sarah Society, which is for priests, and she has a son who's a priest, that's me, okay? Probably know that by now, right? But the essence of this is that priests go into crisis because they don't have a friendship with Christ. And you should know this as a priest speaks to you. And you've been listening to Fulton Sheen for the past 5 days, and he's always mentioning that. In the autobiography, indirectly, but then now you're hearing his homilies. He's speaking a lot, these homilies, these retreats to priests. So this book is Jesus is, okay, Jesus is speaking to this Benedictine priest, and he's writing down in the diary format the words of Jesus and sometimes the words of Mary. And what he's basically saying is that the priest has to imitate the cover here. Probably can't see it, but I'll explain it. This is your meditation tonight. Here you see a picture of Jesus sitting down at the Last Supper, cloaked in red, halo around his head. He's blessing. In his hand, he's got a piece of bread. In front of him, he's got a chalice. And you only see one of the apostles here, and that apostle, St. John. Now, St. John is leaning on Christ. He's leaning on Christ. So this book and the cover basically says it all. The priest has to strive to be like St. John the Evangelist. What would happen if all the priests of the world were like St. John the Evangelist? The whole world would be saved, obviously. The whole world would be saved. Jesus said to a modern saint that if all religious lived their vows, the whole world would be saved. all of us lived our vows, we lived to the fullest our religious life, the whole world would be saved. Even though, in comparison with the lay people, there are not too many religious in the world, what would happen if all religious were like St. Faustina? Or Catherine of Siena? Or a male John Bosco, or Saint Alfonso Liguori, the whole world would be saved. Because like John the Baptist, they'd be attracting so many people because of their holiness that they would say, we want what you are and what you have. So if I have to summarize the essence of this, and eventually you'll all get a copy for yourself, is this. Jesus has a great love for the world, but he has a special love for the priesthood. A special love for the priesthood. And I've said this once, and I'll say it again, and don't take it wrong, but you people are at the mercy of the priests. You're at the mercy of the priests. St. Vincent de Paul said, the greatest gift that a parish can have is to have a saintly pastor. St. Vincent de Paul, who was the greatest in his time with Francis de Sales. So the book is saying that Jesus has a great love for the priesthood, but the priest, like John the Evangelist, has to establish a friendship with Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. He has to establish a friendship with Jesus Christ. If he does not establish a friendship with Jesus Christ, that priest is in danger. He's in danger. Serious danger. If you don't fall in love with the true God, you're going to fall in love with the false God, as Aquinas says. Now, how was that lived out? So at the end of the talk, Mary's going to give you about 4 pages from this to whet your appetite, and this is right in harmony with the exercises and your meditation tonight, because tonight is the Last Supper, which takes us into the garden. To establish that friendship, priest has to come and spend time in front of the tabernacle. Maybe that's obvious for you, but it's not obvious for a lot of priests. He has to spend time in front of the tabernacle. Because in the tabernacle, there you have Jesus. Okay, let's follow up on this. Once again, you've heard many talks of Fulton Sheen. What did he say at the very beginning of his priesthood? That he had made a firm decision that every day of his priesthood he would be faithful to his holy hour. That was a firm commitment that he made. And all of you know the story of the Chinese girl. Once he came in contact with that, it confirmed him all the more. Then at the end of his life, he was faithful to his holy hour. For more than 55 years. A little bit of canon law. When a priest or a bishop is 75 years old, what does he have to do? He has to send in a letter of demission. This is canon law, the law of the church. He has to send a letter to the Pope. It says, Your Holiness, I am 75 years old. Now the Pope can extend his exercising his episcopal role, the role as a bishop, if the Pope so deems that that is good for the church. In the case of Fulton Sheen, basically 75, he was pulled out of the ranks of serving as Archbishop of Rochester, New York. So what did he do? He didn't spend the rest of his life just playing golf, okay? Or playing bridge. Huh? He decided he would spend the rest of his life trying to save the church. Because the church was already going through a crisis. Tell you something that's sad, but it's real. About a year and a half ago, one of our priests who lived with me for many years, he passed away. Father Greg Staub, some of you know him. Very holy priest. Brother Jonah had certain formation from him. Very holy priest. Great devotion to Mary. He was ordained 2 years before me, but he was 2 years younger than me. He was seeking out a seminary, and he actually talked with Fulton Sheen. And Fulton Sheen said that he could not recommend any seminary in the United States. This would be about 1976. Couldn't recommend even one in the whole country. So Sheen is going to be retiring, and what is he doing? He's going to be spending the last 9-10 years of his life giving retreats to priests and to bishops, the generals in the army. And he'd always have in that retreat only one proposal. Just one. The only proposal would be that all the priests should make the decision that they would make a daily holy hour. It's the only proposal that Fulton Sheen promoted among those retreatants. Just make the daily holy hour. And he said to them very bluntly, that when you speak or preach often the people don't listen to you. But when I speak and preach, people listen to me. Why? The hour of power. The hour of power. And he said very bluntly, they don't listen to you at times. You're lacking unction. You're lacking power. Where do you get power? From the source of all power, from God Himself, in the tabernacle, in the Blessed Sacrament. He said to the priest, if you're living a life of degradation, of sinfulness, if you expose yourself to the Blessed Sacrament, the Lord will change you. If you got some addiction, some vice, the Lord will break it. If you're a mediocre priest, the Lord will get you out of that. If you're an average priest, you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you're going to be a better priest. If you're a good priest, the Lord's not going to keep you there. You'll be a better priest. If you're a really good priest, and you persevere, you're going to become a saintly priest. This was his message to the priests and the bishops. Pretty blunt, huh? I think some of them probably felt very uncomfortable with that. Very uncomfortable. Because we all tend to want to nest, as they say in psychology, huh? To nest. We all want to stay where we're at. And we don't want to change. We seek our comfort zone. Remember Linus with his blanket? We all want to cling to our blanket, huh? Whereas meditating upon the life of Christ, you see how free Jesus was, but how Jesus is on the move. Jesus said, the foxes have their holes. The birds of the air, they have their nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus is on the move. So he's challenging the priests to keep walking with him, climbing with him. Falling, getting up. You're going to see these are the themes. The author's going to, it's an unknown author, he's going to be repeating himself over and over again, hitting main topics, which is very Ignatian. Number one, the priest has to be a friend with Christ. How is that established? You got to come to the Blessed Sacrament. That's where Christ is present. And he's going to challenge the priests that are reading this. You have to pray and offer up reparation for the many priests that are not coming. So reparation. Reparation. What does that mean? There's damage done. Someone has to repair the damage. And he's going to challenge the priest, like John the Evangelist, to console his heart. Console his heart. Then he's going to say, you're called to console my heart, you're called to repair, but we have priests that are adorers. I say that as a noun, okay? The verb is to adore. Adorers. What does that mean? You come in front of the Blessed Sacrament to worship the Lord. Isn't that principle and foundation? We're called to praise God. We're called to praise God. What's the best way to praise God? In front of the Blessed Sacrament. You can praise God in your room, but when you're in front of Him, it's called the real presence. Then what I said 4 hours ago in my previous talk, Jesus is saying, look, you got a problem. We all have problems. Don't seek to resolve your problems in wrong places with wrong people using wrong means. Try to resolve your problem by coming to me. And you're going to hear this verse. Jesus is going to say, come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble of heart. You will find rest for your souls. You know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Then Jesus will often say, talk to my mother. How was your conversation with the lady at Cana? How'd that go? Good? Okay, Jesus is motivating the priests to talk to Mary. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So I've given you somewhat of a spin of the normal Ignatian topic, which is the Last Supper, but it really isn't, because in the Last Supper, Jesus institutes the Eucharist, but also at the Last Supper, Jesus institutes the Holy Orders. Did you know that? He institutes the two sacraments at the same time. When he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. He institutes the Eucharist. Then only the Gospel of Luke has what? Do this in memory of me. With that, he's instituting the priesthood. And one depends upon the other. The Curia of Ars is the patron of priests. Says this, no priest, no mass, no mass, no consecration, no consecration, no Eucharist, no Eucharist, no Holy Communion, no Holy Communion, no Jesus. We are spiritual orphans. We're spiritual orphans. So this night in your prayer, it's incumbent upon you to pray for the church, to love the Eucharist. But it's up to good people. You've got to pray for priests. Will you do that?
Yes.
You've got to pray for priests. Pray for Brother Jonas, pray for seminarians, pray for young priests, pray for old priests, pray for priests that are in crisis, pray for priests that are sick, pray for priests that are mediocre, pray for priests that are holy, pray for the perseverance of priests. You have to pray for priests. May Mary, the Mother of Priests, pray for all of us. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of death. For your material, you've got in my book, you've got the fifth luminous mystery. Okay? And if you like also, Mary's going to be giving you some material from this book. And if you want, tonight is the Last Supper. The Last Supper discourse is John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Do you have enough to meditate upon? So all of this is related to the Mass, the Eucharist, and the priesthood. Okay? So, as you know, tonight we have all-night adoration. You got the whole night to be with the Lord, to praise Him, worship, and to pray for priests. Amen.